A homily for the third Sunday of Easter. There are many positive character traits that we would like to possess in life. Our education systems that we are put through from when we are very young aim to nurture them in us. And I'm referring to traits like strength of character, honesty, integrity, diligence, and kindness, just to name a few. As well, our faith or religious formation as baptized sons and daughters of God do not have different aims that are opposed to the formation of such character traits. On this third Sunday of Easter, we see one of the most fundamental and tremendously useful of these traits on display, and it is the trait of boldness in facing life's challenges. Every person listening in on this audio homily is now called to be bold and to be a person of fortitude, especially when we are given strict instructions by the local authorities to stay at home and not go out and mix with others in the open. Many are finding this difficult, mainly because as human beings, we have a natural predisposition to being social. Most of us thrive well in social settings, and many get their livelihood in and through the way that they interact in society. But this lockdown situation has exposed one thing very clearly, and it is this. If we have been finding our stability and strength only in things outside of ourselves, be it our achievements, or our net worth, or our titles, or our work, we have not really learned to base our lives and found our lives on what gives us the most stability and calm when the proverbial chips are down. And right now, the chips are really down because a lot of people are finding themselves unsettled and uneasy, afraid and perhaps even anxious. What does strength, stability and boldness look like in such times? Where does it come from? Ultimately, our faith tells us that it comes from our relationship with God. But a strong faith relationship with God isn't something that comes automatically. For many of us, especially those who have come through hard times of having been tested by God, having been given the pains of going through hardships like broken relationships or betrayals by loved ones, or even experiencing physical afflictions like illnesses, both chronic and acute, we know that the boldness that we live out despite the difficulties involved have come with a price. We had to somehow enter into those crises and come out with a new perspective towards what often appears to break us down, but deep within, we know that there is a goodness that can come out of it if only we persevere and not cave in. Our gospel text this Sunday is a marvelous depiction of this very same pattern or motif that plays out in our faith life and is a portrayal, albeit in a microcosmic way, of how our faith life pans out. Each of us has a movement from non-believer to believer, and from that point on, it can move to us being a more fervent, robust, and resilient believer, or to even back to being a non-believer or a tepid, weak, and half-hearted believer, giving up on what began as a path towards God and toward a life of grace. One key to knowing that this Sunday's gospel text is inviting us to read it as our story as well, and not just the story of those two disciples that day, is to notice that, interestingly, only one of them is given a name, Cleopas. Nothing is revealed about the identity of the other disciple of Jesus. That's the key. Put yourself in that disciple's shoes and see yourself feeling what he or she felt. Yes, it could even be a female disciple. Fearing what they feared and having hearts that burned like theirs were burning as well at the end. This passage is gold for the present situation that all of us are in, precisely because, like Cleopas and his friend, we too aren't having much of a good time in life. They were walking away from where there was so much action and joy before. They had great dreams and plans, and things were going well for them, until Jesus was no longer physically with them and they felt their world collapse. They were walking away from Jerusalem. That's what most people are feeling right now. Life, for many of us, was going well back in the beginning of the year. Think of January 2020. Business was flourishing. We were able to go to church for the sacraments anytime we wanted to. Our jobs were stable. Schools were open. We could mingle and congregate with anyone we wanted to. We could have a happy meal anytime we wanted. Not that I'm a fan of happy meals. And there were hardly any restrictions on our movements. Then came the virus, and it changed everything in an instant, or so it seems. That's the exact situation that Cleopas and his friend found themselves in. Their world, as they knew it, had collapsed. They did what they thought best, to walk away from where it was most painful and to literally put it behind them. They felt alone, as Jesus was no longer with them, or so they thought. What the passage reveals is just the opposite. As they were talking, we are told that Jesus came up and walked by their side. He was not missing, but rather he was right there with them. But they were too caught up in their own dark world of being inward looking. And we are told by St. Luke that something prevented them from recognizing him. And that's so typical for so many people right now. Many are asking, where is God in all this corona craziness that the world is facing? Like Jesus that day on that walk towards Emmaus, God is right here with us. He's in the ICU. He's in the isolation wards. He is there with the sick in the same way as he is there with those of us who are in the confines of our homes and places of residence. He is there with you who are feeling the anxiety of probably facing a business collapse when things reopen. And he is there with the parents who are tearing their hair because homeschooling is even more painful than tooth extraction without the painkillers. Like Cleopas and his friend that day, something is preventing us from recognizing Jesus. Weren't we assured in Matthew 25 how those who visited the sick, clothed the naked, fed the hungry, and saw those in prison also visited, clothed, fed, and saw Jesus? Yet, most of us are blind to this revelation of how the resurrected Lord is alive in these, our brothers and sisters. I have not once believed that God has abandoned us in this plight that we are facing as members of the human race in this pandemic. He is right here with us, and he has not left us to fend for ourselves. He is in the suffering and in the millions of frontline medical workers, as well as in the other services that keep giving hope to those who are most in need. But what is also very necessary, but may be missing, is that a lot of us keep our fears and feelings bottled up. There is a need for us to articulate our fears and concerns, not so much for God to hear, but so that we can hear ourselves. There is a goodness that is prevalent in the world of therapy, where people are willing to part with hard-earned money to find someone to talk to about what their greatest fears and anxieties are. The Western world, however, seems to be more willing to do this than those of us who are in the East. But if we notice in the scripture, Jesus himself shows that there is a benefit to bringing our questions and concerns out and articulate them, describing what occupies our thoughts and make us fearful. We see him doing this in his interaction with people. Look at the time when James and John were arguing over who was to be seated on Jesus' right or left in his kingdom. Jesus asked them, "What is it that you were arguing about?" As well, when he meets the blind or the leper, he asks, "What is it that you want?" Even when Jesus appears to Mary of Magdala in John's Gospel, he asks her pointedly, "Woman, why are you weeping?" It surely isn't that Jesus needs us to tell him what concerns us deeply. He's God, and God is omniscient. Right now, Jesus knows what weighs heavily on our hearts. But there is a value, and a tremendous value, in our being able to articulate, to put words to, what it is exactly that is disturbing our peace and causing us to be upset in life. And it is for our sake that we do this. This Sunday, we need to see in this familiar passage from Luke's Gospel an invitation for us to articulate our concerns, not just to ourselves, but to share in a deep and personal way with those we are sharing this stay home and isolation period with. There is a tendency to clamp up when we are anxious in life, when we are fearful or having some difficulties. We think it protects us. Jesus asks us, like how he asked Mary of Magdala, like how he asked those two disciples on the road, "What things?" Hear Jesus asking you, "Tell me what it is that is deepest and most pressing in your life right now." Open your heart to your loved ones with you as well. And in doing so, open new paths of communication in your families where there may have been walls that have been built up. Doing this takes faith, and doing this takes boldness of faith. But in these times, it is not just a boldness of faith that is much needed, but a brazen boldness at that. And know that in his divine action, God is doing something just as you are doing something to articulate your thoughts and what swims in your head. Your listening to this audio homily means that you want your heart stirred, and you want to face your fears and anxieties with a certain boldness and tenacity in a way that you hadn't before. Just as Christ opened the hearts and ears of Cleopas and his friend, so too will ours be open if we but hand them over to Jesus. Let him then make your hearts burn with faith, and when he does, we will be able to do as Cleopas and his friend did that night. What did they do? They went back to Jerusalem, where it was dangerous, in the nighttime, when it wasn't safe at all. And they did this so that others who heard their story will be just as bold and just as tenacious. In the same way, we need to go back to our lockdown places, back to our stay-at-home routines of work, exercise and family interactions, back to our meetings on Zoom or Google Meet or whatever you're using, back to homeschooling with your kids, back to our social distancing safe practices, but with new hope and new joy. Our fellow man won't be able to see our physical smiles through our face masks that we wear, but they will certainly be able to detect our kindness, our patience, our cheer, our willingness to be of any assistance to those who need our help in big or small ways. The boldness of our faith is what propels us to live out the new normal in our lives, like the way St. Peter was so bold to stand up for the faith and to proclaim it without thinking about the possible negative consequences in the other two readings at Mass today. This is what Easter faith and Easter boldness looks like. God love you.